Thanks for listening to this podcast of Trending with Timmeri. If you haven't already subscribed, please catch us wherever you love to listen to your podcasts, from the Relevant Radio app to Apple, YouTube, you name it, we are there. And if you listen on Apple Podcasts, please be sure to go and give us a 5-star review to help other people discover the podcast. Anything you share in terms of episodes, whether it's texting it to a friend, posting on social media, helps to build up the kingdom for God, to help confront the challenging issues we face as a culture, but with joy, with hope, and with an eternal perspective where our faith collides with everyday life, bringing eternal principles to help us live our life joyfully.
So, what's trending? Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timmeri on Relevant Radio.
I'm biracial, I'm bilingual, I'm multicultural. The fact is, in America, in North Carolina, I can do anything I want, and I teach that to my children. And the person who tells my little pecan color kids that they're somehow oppressed based on the color of their skin would be absolutely wrong and absolutely at war with me. And I think that's the same for every parent. What the mask showed us is that the parents, the most powerful group of people in our country, that they're taking back the wheel. Now, obviously, we had to take the wheel back for the mask, but we're taking the wheel back from Washington all the way to Raleigh and into our local school board. Because CRT, all of that, the parents don't want it. It's a big fat lie. There's not one, if you believe in CRT, I want to tell you, you're a liar. Because that means you look at your black neighbor and say that they're oppressed, and you look at your white neighbor and say that they're evil, regardless of the experience that you've had with them. And we're not going to do that. The parents in the United States of America, right here in North Carolina and Cabarrus County, we know that's not true because we believe the lives we live. The fact is, I've been a business owner right here in North Carolina, and I deal with white people, black people, Hispanic people. My children deal with everybody. And the racism is only happening at the government level and on the media. The fact is, you have racists, and there's like, you can't even find them hardly. You just hear the stories about them. But this is what we're dealing with. The parents are taking the wheel. I have an 8-year-old daughter who is absolutely dynamic, who can do anything, athletically, intellectually, spiritually, and emotionally. She is a dynamo.
We're going to keep playing part of this audio. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Trending with Timmeri. That's a father of 3 children, and he spoke up this week at a county school board meeting in North Carolina. He is one of many parents who is saying enough is enough. Now, this is what's interesting. You can actually see the video. Lucas, can you post a clip of that video on social media for those who want to see it? We'll post that on my social media, on my Twitter and Facebook. Follow me at Timmeri, T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E. Here's a father standing up in the school board meeting. Some people obviously trying to ignore him. Others are very grateful. Many parents who, again, they're even rationing the number of parents that can go into these meetings. They didn't like what this father had to say peacefully and eloquently and passionately. So they brought the police in. The police were stepped in during his few minutes to comment to the school board. And they were standing there intimidatingly. Police, they bring police into these school board meetings to bully and scare parents into silence. And I'm so glad that Brian Echevarria is one father among other parents who are still willing to speak up. It's your right, it's your responsibility as parents to peacefully and, yes, passionately fight against what's happening to children. And I think that it's fascinating to really hear this particular testament and why it's going viral on social media, because here's a man who is multicultural. He's bilingual. His skin is black. Again, he's bilingual, multicultural. He's emphasized this, and he's emphasized at one point, he even says, I can do anything I want, emphasizing that he is not oppressed. And he's criticizing everything from critical race theory that says black person is oppressed and therefore needs I wouldn't even just say handouts, but prioritization in life. And this idea that then your white person next door is evil. And he's speaking against this. But then he goes on to start to talk about his 8-year-old daughter. Again, he is a father of 3 children speaking up at the county school board in one of the school districts there in North Carolina. Listen to his next comment about his daughter, sports, and ultimately this transgender craze.
I have an 8-year-old daughter who is absolutely dynamic, who can do anything athletically, intellectually, spiritually, and emotionally. She is a dynamo. And I don't want a man swimming against her in the pool. The fact is, I don't want her playing against boys in soccer. I don't even let my sons rough her up. Do you think I'm going to let your son rough her up? This is what we're talking about. Policy going back to the parents.
This is a fantastic testimony, and a father speaking up very clearly, very simply, not even getting into the transgender ideology and agenda. He made it clear. An incredibly talented 8-year-old daughter. I don't want her playing against boys and men. And did you hear what he said? I don't even let my sons rough her up. Why would I want your sons roughing her up playing sports? And it's interesting because people have made the argument, well, should we allow people who identify as transgender to play only non-contact sports, for example, maybe such as swimming, such as the crisis we're seeing at University of Pennsylvania with so-called Lia Thomas, who is a actual man and who for years went by Will Thomas and competed for 3 years as a male before deciding this last year to compete as a female because he takes cross-sex hormones. And somehow the NCAA, as well as all the Ivy League schools, think that's an okay way to allow you to just compete with the women. But even if there is no contact in the sports, they're putting a man, inside the locker room with the women. They're uncomfortable. They don't want to be in the locker room with a dude. These are sacred spaces for women to respect and honor their bodies and be able to safely and comfortably get dressed. Prepare for a moment before a meet and after a meet. And so, you know, all of us coming back, here's the reality. The reality is that parents are speaking up in a revolution across this nation, and they've said enough is enough. We are taking back our children's education. Now, can we pick up where we left off after where he talks about his daughter? Because the ending of his statement, I think, is really important. He talks about how he's a business owner, and he ends by saying, I thank you for your service. That is speaking to the school educators. And when he says that, he then says, we are taking back the wheel. We are taking back the wheel. Those are very important words. I want you to hear the rest of this North Carolina dad, Brian Ekveria, father of 3. By the way, he's also, I found out, running for North Carolina General Assembly. Why? Because he's another parent stepping up and saying, we're going to take back this country for our kids and their future. Listen to the last of his statements to the school board there in North Carolina.
Because if you think people who love America are willing to fight for it, you haven't met parents yet. Because I'm telling you, parents will go further down any street than anyone who loves their country alone. My name is Brian Echeverria. I thank you for your service, and we're taking back the wheel.
Thank you. Okay, he should have received a round of applause, standing ovation, and cheering. I thank you for your service. Yes, thank you, educators. If you're an educator, thank you for your service. But we, that is parents, are taking back the wheel. This is a revolution happening across the nation. I hope you will join parents in emphasizing that parents are the primary educators of their children, and that school teachers, public or private school, are meant to come alongside parents and help support those education goals. And that they understand and respect the things such as sexual morality needs to be determined at a timing when a parent sees fit to have discussed with their child. That politics don't belong in the classroom. The critical race theory doesn't belong in the classroom. The Catholic Church emphasizes that parents are the primary educators of their children. This is what marriage is all about. Our vows as people who get married within the church. What we vow to at the heart of it is understanding that our marriage is oriented toward having children. Toward having them and educating them. That doesn't just mean saving for college, sending them to a good school in a good school district or a private school. Doesn't mean a checkbox or, okay, can they spell? Can they write? Can they read? Do they know math in the highest level? Do they have the degrees? No, education encompasses the whole human person, body and soul. And this is so important because what's happening in our schools across the nation, people are losing their faith. They're becoming so sexualized and secularized that we have been speaking often lately of this crisis today, a failure to launch for young men, the sexualization of young women. It's because we've gotten rid of God and we've gotten rid of the rights of parents and many parents forfeiting their rights. Or just saying they trust educators. You shouldn't trust anyone with your kid. You should always have a strong level of accountability. And always be checking in and aware. This is a reminder when this dad and others are speaking up at parent-teacher conferences, at school board meetings. Thank God they're saying, we are taking back the wheel. This is a revolution of parents opening their eyes to what's happening during COVID. I have been hearing from you across the nation for the last 2 years in the face of everything that's gone on with COVID, and eyes are being opened to the importance of the holiness of our children. Even if you don't have kids, you know, before I even had my first kid, I cared about this. I was passionate about this because this is the future of our church. This is the future of our nation. And so this is so important that we are standing behind and supporting parents and ultimately kids in the building of the kingdom of heaven. You're listening to Trending with Tim Marie here on Relevant Radio. Coming up, I'm going to share with you some of the inside scoop surrounding Roe versus Wade, what's happening on the abortion front in many states. We're going to talk about the Women's Health Protection Act. That's not what it is. It's a terrible name for it. And there's news about a vote coming up next week. You need to know what this is. We need to be praying. We're also going to talk about how lives are being saved across the nation with sweeping pro-life, life-saving laws banning abortion from Florida to Arizona. This is fantastic news. The pro-life movement is winning, and you need to join the pro-life revolution. I'm also going to talk about what you can do to join the pro-life cause to save lives and help women. Maybe you've not been involved before, or maybe it's been a little while. We're going to discuss that today on Trending. I'll be right back here on Relevant Radio. This hour sponsored by Solidarity HealthShare. Prices start at $384 a month for families. Call now to see how much you can save. 855-954-5688.
So, what's trending? Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
That life remains a life, whether...
The sergeant will restore order in the gallery.
Life. 78 yeas, 39 nays, Mr. Speaker.
So the bill passes.
This is from the House floor in Florida this week. Did you hear the news? The abortion ban, the life-saving pro-life legislation that was just passed in the House Assembly in Florida would ban abortion after 15 weeks, saving countless lives. This legislation is nearly mirroring the Mississippi law that was sent before the Supreme Court of the United States that very well may lead to the overturning of Roe versus Wade in the coming months at the end of this spring. These are historic moments sweeping the nation that we are seeing laws on put on the books in three states just this week. That's Florida, Arizona, and West Virginia, all passing bills this week to end abortion by 15 weeks. This is fantastic news. We have a lot to do as a pro-life movement. And here we just heard the audio from the Florida House floor that they had the votes to pass it in the House. It is expected now to pass the Senate. And Governor Ron DeSantis has indicated that he will be signing this legislation, making California yet another state that has written into their law that they will not allow abortion after 15 weeks. It is a pro-life wave, a pro-life revolution sweeping the nation. The pro-life cause is winning because it saves lives. It does not destroy lives. It helps women. We're going to come up talking about what you can do to join this pro-life wave to save lives and help women. I want to share with you a little bit of inside scoop on what's happening with Roe versus Wade. I mentioned that this Florida law that was just passed through the House and will now go to the Senate, that this law mirrors a Mississippi case before the Supreme Court of the United States. A lot can be broken down on this. I've actually done a number of podcasts explaining this. Lucas, if you can include a link in the podcast notes and social media to that, you can find that now on my social media at Timmerie, T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E. This is a major case. It has to do with everything from precedence to addressing the issue of viability. What's at the core here of the Supreme Court case has to do with the fact that Mississippi and now a number of other states copying the same law have banned abortion starting at 15 weeks or even earlier in some states. And what the problem at hand and why this went before the Supreme Court is that the law in Roe versus Wade and its sister case, Doe versus Bolton, as well as the later abortion cases of Planned Parenthood versus Casey in 1992, that all of these led to certain parameters with regard to how abortion will be regulated in the United States. And essentially with Roe versus Wade and Doe versus Bolton, there was very little ability to put restrictions on abortion because it had to do with viability. And viability is that point based on current medical technologies as to when it is determined that a child can live outside of a mother's womb. Now, currently, a child, according to our latest advancements in medical technology, viability is slated at 22 weeks. Now, that said, we have seen some children break records just in the last year, proving that a child can live outside of the womb even earlier than that, but the line currently is still at 22 weeks. So here's the deal. Viability continues to be pushed back further and further, earlier and earlier on in the pregnancy. And so for viability to be a determination as to you can't ban abortion until after viability, well, that's an arbitrary line. And so this is part of what is the question before the Supreme Court of the United States. So as Florida and now Arizona and West Virginia this week are passing bills to end abortion, ban abortion after 15 weeks, all of this rests on the outcome of the Supreme Court of the United States, what they will determine in this very important Supreme Court case, and we will wait and see. Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health, it will be a historical case, no matter the outcome, but here's a little bit of inside scoop. This is the news, and it's good news. You're listening to Trending with Timmerie here on Relevant Radio. The pro-abortion movement believes emphatically, with certainty, that Roe versus Wade is going to be overturned. The pro-abortion movement, the movement that fought for making abortion the law of the land across the nation, they believe that Roe versus Wade will be overturned. If you follow anything they're saying from their emails to their speeches, they know Roe versus Wade is being overturned. They have basically conceded that, and this is why they are desperately doing anything they can to try to do something else to make sure abortion is still the law of the land. And so what we are seeing ahead of us is the so-called Women's Health Protection Act. For the last few years, the pro-abortion movement has known that it was only a matter of time before Roe v. Wade was overturned with a solid case before the Supreme Court. And so what they've been working to do is through this so-called Women's Health Protection Act. It is no Women's Health Protection Act. It is a false name. It's only about abortion. What they seek to do is to enshrine essentially what Roe v. Wade is, and that is abortion access on demand with no restrictions. They want this to be federal law. And so the Women's Health Protection Act is actually going to be taken for a vote coming up next week. It was just announced the Senate will vote on the Women's Health Protection Act, also known as WHPA, when they return from recess, specifically on February 28th. We have 10 days until the Women's Health Protection Act is voted on. And again, this is not any form of protection for women. It's meant to protect abortion, no matter the cost, including after viability, before viability, even if it's chemical abortion, even if it's surgical abortion, if it's a dismemberment abortion where a child is ripped apart piece by piece, even if it's abortion 9 months, the same day a woman is going into labor, the same moment she's going into labor, they are advocating for abortion because legally in the United States, currently, with Roe v. Wade, abortion is really allowed as long as the baby's head is still intact inside the what mother's womb. As long as the head is still inside, that's okay to kill the baby. So what I'm telling you is that my baby girl, all they would have had to do was flip her so that her head did not come out first, allowed her legs, and then her cute little baby bum, or her torso, and her arms to come out. And then they could kill her before she's fully out of the womb. That is what abortion is. We live at a point in history when a child is either wanted or unwanted, and that is what justifies abortion today. And the pro-abortion movement is so terrified, they know Roe v. Wade is going to be overturned at the end of this spring, and so they are clinging to anything they can because they know pro-life, pro-life-saving work and legislation is going to be the law of the land. And so we need to fight against this diabolical movement, this diabolical bill, Women's Health Protection Act, again, that is trying to enshrine Roe v. Wade, essentially, into federal law with on-demand abortion, no restrictions, overriding every current state pro-life law. They're doing this because we are sweeping the nation with laws that are saving lives. And we will continue to. We will not give up. No matter the outcome of whether or not Roe v. Wade is overturned with Dobbs v. Jackson Women's Health, at the end of this spring, and I do believe it will be, no matter what, we will continue to implement pro-life laws. We will fight to save every single life, to help women be respected, protected, supported, and thrive, even in the face of surprise pregnancies. We will be there. And this is the good news. This is why the pro-life movement is a movement of hope. It is not a movement of despair or control, manipulation, or lies. That's what the pro-abortion movement is. The reality is that whether someone claims to be pro-life, pro-abortion, on the fence, or say, well, I personally am opposed to abortion, but you can do what you want. No matter what, we know as a nation, women know this. Women know they deserve better than abortion. They know that they don't need abortion because they know that this claim to needing abortion is hurting them. And they know that women are hurt by abortion. Yeah, the pro-abortion movement is desperate and grabbing at anything. They're malicious. They lie. They cheat. They manipulate people. They use storytelling. We cannot allow them to win. We cannot allow them to write abortion on demand, no restrictions, overriding every pro-life state law across the nation. We cannot allow them to bring this into federal law. And so as we see on the 28th of February, the Women's Health Protection Act, so-called Women's Health Protection Act, will be voted on by the Senate. We need to pray. We need to fast. We need to keep hope, to not let go of hope, and we need to fight. You're listening to Trending with Tim Marie here on Relevant Radio, and I really want to talk about ways that you can get involved in the pro-life cause. Because the reality is, if, and this is very important, so what happens if Roe versus Wade is overturned at the end of the spring? Well, if Roe versus Wade is overturned at the end of the spring, pretty much what would happen is the issue would be returned to the states, and the individual states, based on what the current law is on the books having to do with abortion, that is what the abortion law will be for that state. And so we're going to see every single state as a new battleground, battling for pro-life, pro-woman laws. Some states are already putting these on the books. Some states have already put very radical pro-abortion laws on the books, because this has been the battle over the last couple of years. You have states such as Illinois and California and Virginia pushing as hard as they can for pro-abortion legislation. And then you have other states such as Texas, Arizona, West Virginia, you know, all of these states that are fighting to make these pro-life safe havens. Just today, there was a vote in the California legislature trying to force all Californians, whether they have private or public health care, to pay for abortion so that abortion is free for all women. Governor Gavin Newsom is trying to make California a abortion safe haven state where anyone can come to California to get access to their abortions. We cannot let this happen. California, don't give up. There are so many pro-life people there. The pro-life movement is alive and thriving. Will you join them is the question. So this is why I want to talk for a little bit about what you can do to join the pro-life cause to save lives and help women. If you have a question during today's show, especially related to the issue of abortion and the current case before us, I'd love to take your question. The number is 1-888-914-9149. So what are you doing to help save lives and bring about this pro-life revolution? First and foremost, we can and we must pray. But I mean actually pray. It's one thing to say, yes, I'm praying for an end to abortion. I hope you are. Because I know it's easy to say, oh, I'll pray for you, or I'll pray for that. And then we don't really. We need to pray. How can you pray for an end to abortion? How can you fight for this law that was based on a Supreme Court case by a handful of judges some years ago? How can we pray and hope and work for this to be overturned through prayer? Well, we need to pray for the decision makers in our nation, for our leaders, for the Supreme Court justices. We need to pray for each and every single one of them by name. We need to pray for leaders of pro-life organizations that are doing important work. We need to offer our day. Do you set an intention for your day? When you get up in the morning, when you don't want to get up, when you anticipate a difficult day, when you anticipate a good day, do you offer that day in prayer for a specific intention? You could offer it for a specific Supreme Court justice. We can pray by going and offering a holy hour. We can pray by going to daily mass and offering our mass for a specific intention or person. We must pray for our Supreme Court justices. Oh, the benefit of having a baby is there are a lot of moments where I can't really do anything outside of just being there with her. Those long moments of, you know, sitting through long feedings and, you know, long moments of doing things throughout the day. But what I can do in those moments, and a lot of us have these days, you know, chunks of our day, we can pray. Maybe you pray your rosary during that time. Maybe you pray Divine Mercy Chaplet. Maybe you just pray a few Hail Marys and Our Father or Glory Be. You can offer those prayers up throughout the day for those leaders who are making decisions on abortion, for the governors, the senators, the House members, for the Supreme Court justices. So first and foremost, what can you do? Pray, and I mean it when I say actually pray. Second is fast. Fasting and abstinence are so important. Abstaining is saying, okay, I'm going to abstain from this particular thing at this time. Maybe you're going to abstain from meat for the next number of months until the decision is made and you're abstaining, offering that fast or offering that abstinence for specific justice or intention. You know, one of the things that I've been working on recently, especially ahead of what we're expecting, is we've been incorporating a lot more fasting in our home lately. You know, as you know, coming off of nursing the baby and transitioning, I'm able to fast again. And this is important. It's not easy. And it's a fundamental part of being Catholic. Yet we tend to think as Catholics, oh man, Lent's coming up, I have to fast. Well, actually, we're called to fast throughout the year as well. That's another conversation for another day. But might I remind you, and I say this often, the words of Jesus Christ, when he comes down from Mount Tabor in Mark chapter 9, and there is a demoniac thrashing about, and the apostles had been trying to cast out the demon, and they couldn't. And they ask him, why couldn't we do it? Because he then, Jesus Christ, came and cast out the demon. They said, why couldn't we? And part of the response was, you didn't have faith. You didn't have the faith to do it. But the second part of the response was, some demons are only cast out with prayer and fasting. And this is what's so important that we understand. Fasting is a part of our prayer. So I would encourage you, maybe, you know, you skip dinner every weeknight during the week and you offer that for the Supreme Court justices. And maybe you skip breakfast and you wait until lunch to eat. I prefer skipping dinner. It's just easier for me personally for fasting. It's more manageable. I'm not quite a beast that way. If I fast that way, you know, all fasting must be charitable. And I'm not quite as capable of being charitable if I'm fasting every single morning. But it's more doable in the evening. You have a cutoff time. And remember, there are a lot of health benefits to intermittent fasting as well. If you want to fast, you need to eat the right food so that you can thrive when you are fasting. Fasting has always been a part of our religion. And it's very important that we remember those words of Jesus Christ, that some demons are only cast out with prayer and fasting. Second, I want to challenge and encourage you to speak up. Do not be afraid to speak about abortion, to share your views. Let's start with it easy. There are three tiers, I would say, of people who you can talk to. First, start by speaking up, by talking about abortion to people who are pro-life, helping to encourage them to know they're not alone. Maybe even encouraging one another to be more involved in pro-life work and volunteering and giving whatever you're able to give, or your time, talent, and treasures. And then that second tier, as you become more comfortable talking about abortion, start to talk to people who are kind of on the fence and would be friendly to an open-minded conversation, even though, you know, they're kind of, you know, on the fence on abortion, but they could have a conversation. You can actually sway those people. They're easier people to talk to. You don't have to be afraid. They don't know all the details about abortion. You maybe don't know all the details about abortion. You can start to learn more. We're going to talk about that in a moment. But then that third tier of people are perhaps people you know who are close to you, who you can actually have concrete conversations challenging them on this issue. Maybe it's a sibling. Maybe it's a close friend, a friend from years ago who you're still really close to, who used to be, you know, kind of pro-life and have stronger views, and now they're suddenly pro-abortion. And so these are some of the ways you can get involved and do something for life. We're going to continue to break down ways you can speak up and be a part of the winning pro-life revolution sweeping the nation. But before we go there, we have a number of people calling in. I'd love to take some calls now. If you have a question, the number is 1-888-914-9149. Larry from Studio City, California, is on the line. Larry, what's your question or comment today about abortion?
Well, my comment is that I am and always will be pro-life because I'm adopted. Mm. Okay, I was adopted back before Roe versus Wade was passed, But still, the reason that Roe versus Wade got passed in the first place was because all of these then illegal adoptions were happening. But if my mother, my biological mother, had not chosen life, I wouldn't be here. And I only know two things about her. Number one, she chose to give birth to me. And number two, when I was placed for adoption, she requested that I be given to parents who would raise me in the Catholic Church. And that was such a tremendous gift.
Praise
and
God.
I'm just wondering, is there some way that an organization can get started where all of us who were adopted can make our voices heard and let the world know, hey, you know, we came very close to not being here. We may not be perfect, but we've done some good things here.
Oh, praise God, Larry. God creates a human person. The human person that God creates is perfect in his image and in his likeness. And your mom chose you. And I know sometimes adoption can be a difficult topic for many individuals years later. You know, why? But your mom chose you. She chose you, chose to give the best life she could give to you, knowing that she didn't have something to offer at that time. And I love that you shared, she chose that you be raised by a family that was Catholic. She gave you faith. Praise God. What an incredible testimony, Larry. And that's a fantastic question. What can I do to share my story as a pro-life person? And actually, there's something you can do. It's you can check out Shout My Story. You can find it at shoutmystory.org. Shout your story and tell your pro-life story. People, you know, there's everything from pro-choice people who are now pro-life to stories such as yours of sharing your story that you are alive today. You have faith today because your mom chose life. She said yes. She chose you, and she chose for you to be raised in the Catholic faith. What a gift. So I hope that you will check out shoutmystory.org. That is one resource among others. And, you know, I always laugh when, and I've been there. I've done the same thing. Can't someone start this organization to do X, Y, and Z? Maybe that longing, maybe that desire on your heart, maybe the gift of your life and your experience is the calling for you to start something. St. Catherine Drexel, who's known as a saint here in the United States, the story goes, I'll never forget it. I can't remember everything that was going on, but she kind of kept coming to the current pope of her time, and she was listing all this litany of things that needed to be changed and needed to be done for the good in the church. And you want to know what the pope said to her? Okay, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? He flipped it on her. And I think that this is a challenge. It's so easy for us to say, this is wrong with the world, and that's wrong with the world, and this needs to change, and you could do this better. Well, how about we start doing more better? I remember I had a dance teacher who, you know, we'd go and do an exercise, and he was very, very demanding. And afterwards, he's like, you can do more better. You can do better. Like, come on, let's do better. Don't always say other people can. I can do better. I can do my best. I can do more. And it might be simply by not necessarily starting an organization, but sharing your story and sharing it loudly. Write your story for a pro-life organization that is a news media organization sharing stories like these, because your story can help change and save another life who hears it. And that's why I actually want to come to more of my topics today of what we can do to continue to be involved in the pro-life movement, or maybe be involved for the first time. If you have a question about abortion, numbers 1-888-914-9149. Ted from San Francisco is on the line. Ted, what's your question or comment about abortion?
Hello. Yes. What I wanted to say was, number one was if people can, I mean, California, more people will come to pray in front of abortion facilities, Planned Parenthood, even when it's not 40 days for life, even if just one rosary. And also for parents that have children, kids in Catholic schools, to encourage them to start pro-life clubs. I hope you can hear me.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Thank you so much for sharing that, Ted. We need to actually get out in front of the abortion clinic some more and pray. It's hard, especially during COVID. A lot of people were scared out of praying from the abortion clinics. And this is one thing that I do want to encourage people to get behind. And it's on my list here today. And that is to pray in front of your abortion clinic. If you've never been in front of the abortion clinic before, you can do it. And the good news is there is a slew of people across the nation about to do this all Lent long with 40 Days for Life. We're going to include a link in the podcast notes for today's show. At abortion clinics across the nation, people are starting 40 Days for Life campaigns where they're praying and fasting in front of the abortion clinic in pairs. You can sign up to be there with someone else. You're not alone. It is your legal right. It's completely safe. You can go and pray in front of an abortion clinic. And guess what? When someone sees you praying in front of the abortion clinic, a lot of women, they drive by and don't go in. When someone sees you praying in front of the abortion clinic, they go in and they come out. Lives are saved and changed. People such as Abby Johnson herself left the abortion movement because people were praying time and time again in front of her abortion clinic, and she was inspired by them. She left. She went running into the arms of the people who started 40 Days for Life, Sean Carney. Incredible story. In fact, I was just reached out to a fellow pro-lifer in Northern California reached out to me, and she said, I wanted you to see this photo of this man. He heard on Relevant Radio you saying that you can go and pray in front of the abortion clinic, even if it's your first time. It's totally safe, and we need you to be there to save and change lives. And she sent me a photo of him. They're praying for the first time in front of an abortion clinic. It warmed my heart. It made me so proud because so many people are afraid, but it is our right to stand on a public sidewalk and pray. Pray your rosary, pray silently, pray out loud, pray as you please. But 40 Days for Life is an incredible opportunity. We'll include links in the podcast notes for you to get involved in your area. You don't have to go alone. You could. Actually, I'll share a story about that coming back because I have prayed alone in front of the abortion clinic a number of times, and I'll share some stories as we come back. If you have some questions for me during this pro-life conversation about what you can do to get involved in the pro-life movement, give me a call. The number is 1-888-914-9149. I'll be right back with some fascinating stories of praying in front of the abortion clinic. Today's programming is brought to you by Colby Academy. Offering a customized Catholic curriculum, Colby Academy knows the ultimate goal of education is to help our children be saints. More info at relevantradio.com/Colby.
Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
You're listening to Trending with Timory. The good news is that pro-life laws are sweeping the nation, and we're talking about how you can get involved now in the pro-life work. If you have a question, we'd love to take the numbers 1-888-914-9149 about abortion. Mark is calling now. Mark, what is your question or comment about abortion today?
I'm out here in Arizona helping a friend of mine who's going through a horrific divorce. All kinds of court games being played. So, I mean, she's already stressed out about that. And she let me know that she's pregnant from a rape from her ex-husband.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Wow. That's like, what do you say to somebody? Mm. I mean, my gut feeling, and I talked with my dad about this before, going forward to say anything, is he said, well, you know, have her carry it to term and give it to a family that can really love it, you know. And I said, yeah, that's my feeling, too. And that having, you know, very little to do with faith or anything, it's just, you know. But I just thought it was coincidental that that I would be spinning the dial, headed back to talk to this gal, and your show's on the air. So I've always believed that the Lord works in coincidence.
Praise God, you were meant to be here, and you are meant to be the person talking to and helping your friend. Thank you for being there for your friend, Mark, because it's not easy in these crisis moments, and sometimes you go, well, who's going to be here to talk to her? And I say, well, that's you. You're the best person who could talk to her right now. And as a woman who, you know, is alone right now, She's uncomfortable. She's afraid. The future is uncertain. One of the best things she could have right now is the strength of someone who knows her, who loves her, and who is willing to help protect her. She needs to feel protected and loved and cared for. And so your support for her will speak volumes through this whole situation. You are correct 100%, Mark. If she is not able to or does not want to raise this baby, she can place her baby for adoption. That is the good news. Now, that is a difficult process for many women to go through. It's a process of making peace with. But what needs to happen first and foremost before she does anything, Mark, is she needs to, and this is really important, she needs to go to a doctor, confirm that she's doing okay, that the baby's doing okay, but she needs to go to a pro-life doctor because many doctors today are pro-abortion and will encourage abortion. And so you can check out, Maggie will work with you to get in contact with a crisis pregnancy center in your area so that you can find out where a good Catholic doctor is, but Catholic hospitals are always an excellent resource. So she'll work with you after we speak here to make sure that your friend gets to a good Catholic doctor, because it's important that she's healthy, we see the baby's healthy, and that also buys her some time to, you know, make some effort in healing with everything that's going on. She does need to see a therapist. That's very important, a strong, good therapist. You can also check out, I don't know if you're Catholic or not, but CatholicTherapist.com. Maggie will help you get that resource as well. CatholicTherapists.com are great. They're not explicitly Catholic. You don't have to be Catholic to go to them, but they are pro-life. And so they are going to help her through her healing journey, and they will not encourage abortion, which is important. But again, that comes alongside your support and love for her. That is so important. Now, as she's going through this despair, it's important to remember a few things. You know, this is that worst case scenario where people are always trying to say, well, here's a loophole for abortion. It isn't a loophole for abortion, because the truth of the matter is, I worked for years in the crisis pregnancy centers. I've sidewalk counseled in front of the abortion clinic. I've seen women who've chosen life after having been through a rape, and I've seen women who have chosen abortion after having gone through a rape. And here's the reality. Women who have been raped, who choose abortion, their process of healing and moving forward after the rape is significantly damaged, because in the instance of a rape, they were innocent. They were the one who was absolutely accosted and damaged atrociously. Now, in the case of an abortion, though, what happens is they start to view themselves as identifying more so with the perpetrator than as a victim, because they, in an abortion, would be participating in doing something harmful to an innocent human being. And so what happens is it stymies it, really, it ruins the healing process from the rape. And so actually going through that pregnancy is a help in a certain respect through that process of healing after having been through rape. There is an incredible resource of stories where people have been through where your friend has been, Mark. It's SaveTheOne.com, SaveTheNumberOne.com. And there are countless testimonies exactly telling stories such as these, also telling the stories of children whose parent had been through rape and who they are now living and breathing because their mothers chose life. This is extremely important for us to have this resource. And Mark, again, you are there to be equipped with your friend. You know, helping her through that process is really important. Do you have any other questions?
No, but I do have personal experience with this. Another friend in California had asked me to be there for her during her abortion, and not knowing and so forth, and this had nothing to do with rape or anything, I went as, you know, emotional support, and just being there and going through that experience, even though I'm a man, I vowed at that point that I will never be witness to something like that again. It was so overwhelmingly powerful on a spiritual level, on a energetic level, on every level possible you can imagine. It was probably one of the worst experiences of my life. And I hope if there's men out there listening, yeah, don't ever encourage an abortion, ever, for any reason. It was the worst thing I've ever gone through.
Mark, thank you for having the humility to share that story, because there are a lot of people who have been in the same exact place you have been, where a friend who, you know, they loved, asked for them to go there and support them. And even if you weren't pro-abortion, but you were trying to help your friend, you regret it. And I don't know, are you Catholic, Mark?
I was raised Catholic, and, you know, since then I've decided I'm Christian, not necessarily Catholic, but not against Catholic either, just...
Right. And, well, you're welcome. You're always welcome here at Relevant Radio, but I wanted to share with you the great gift of confession. You know, I want to extend the invitation. I don't know why you left the Catholic Church. I want to extend the invitation for you to come back. And I want you to extend the invitation to you that our Lord is waiting for you with his great and abounding mercy in confession. If you ever want to go, I know so many people who have been in the exact shoes you've been, who've been there through an abortion, and going to confession can be such a healing balm, receiving that mercy. That priest acts in persona Christi. It is Christ who you're confessing to, and it is Christ who forgives you. And it sounds like you're an incredibly faith-filled man. I'm certain, I know you have prayed through and asked, you know, forgiveness for your part in this. But I want to encourage you and invite you back to the church and invite you to the great gift of the robustness of our Catholic faith. And I hope you'll stay and continue to listen here on Relevant Radio. God sent you to us today in this timing, and he's sending you to his friend, your friend today, and his daughter whom he loves. And you are going to be a powerful intercessor for her, to help keep this baby, to fight for this baby, to choose life. And it will not be easy. And you may need aid and support. I'm happy. You're welcome to reach out to me with any resources I can. Maggie's waiting on hold to help you as well through this. You're listening to Trending with Timur here on Relevant Radio. This is the reality of abortion. Legalized abortion in our nation leads to the heartbreak of what we just discussed with Mark today. I hope you will fight and you will join the pro-life cause and join this wave sweeping the nation, so that we do not have to see and hear stories such as these, where women are being told that abortion is an option that will never help her heal from what's happening in the culture.